Good morning. I've had the pleasure of knowing our speaker today for over 32 years, and I know this man of God, this servant, has been a Christian 61 years. He and his wife, Guyanetta, who is sitting in the back pew with next to Betty Hall, if you want to say hi, have been married for 65 years. They have four daughters, 16 grands, and almost 17 greats. He became a Gideon, he told me, when he heard the statement, "A Gideon puts God's words into people's hands." He taught at Greenville College, university now, it'll always be college to some of us, for 35 years, and I had the pleasure of working with him about 32 of those, or 32 for me. And my first day there, he gave me a piece of advice that I won't tell you about, but I use to this very day, and I quote him often on that, and I thank him for that piece of advice. It was very helpful. He likes camping, the outdoors. He's been on four mission fields. His most memorable is Nicaragua, where he and Guyanetta have served either 14 or 15 times. Yes, 14, not four. There they conduct street evangelism, go door to door, inviting people to church and distributing New Testaments. And he shared that as soon as a Nicaraguan receives the book that they give them, they are seen moving to the side and beginning to read immediately. That's how thirsty some people in this world are for God's word. Let's welcome Dr. John Wright.
Well, the first thing I have to say is, wow. Do you guys do this every Sunday? I'm serious. Do you do this every Sunday? This is amazing. When I came in, I don't know how this is going to say, but you guys greeted me so warmly that it's kind of amazing. And this team up here, wow. It's just wow. Anyway, Veronica, that was a very generous introduction. Thank you. You couldn't have said anything better about me if I'd been dead. Well, haven't you noticed that's what happens? I mean, when you die, you're suddenly great. And everybody just loves you and tells all the great things about you. So there's that. Anyway, let me get settled here, and then we'll go. The title in your bulletin is "You Are Invited." So, invitations. Have you ever seen one of those invitations? You get it and you open it and whoa! I'm going to buy all new clothes. This is marvelous. This is great. And I don't know why they sent it to me, but they did. And I'm going. And I just, oh wow! I'm looking forward to this. And then there are those invitations where. You get it, and do I have to? I mean, you obviously have. Yeah, it's one of those. And then there are occasionally those like this one. It is an invitation to become a contestant or a competitor, if you will, at the annual chicken plucking contest in Chiapas, Mexico, on December the 25th, 2022. You should know the rules for this engagement, and they are these. First of all, the entrance fee is $500. And also, all contestants will pay their own travel and living expenses to and from and while at the plucking contest. All contestants will furnish their own chickens to pluck. Hold on now. The first prize will be the chicken, the winner's chicken. Second prize will be the thanks of all the contest organizers. No other prizes are contemplated at this time. And this is important. You got to get this. All people accepting, accepting this invitation means that the individual who accepts the invitation will compete. There's no backing out. You commit. You accept this invitation. You compete. I mean, you commit to compete. So there that is. Now, who here? No. Well, I guess invitations are sort of like that, aren't they? I guess nobody's going to latch onto that one. Well, you can go out and buy a chicken. I mean, they've got them down at Buckeyes, and little ones, you just take a little one and pluck it. there you go. Well, there are those invitations. And then there are the Lord's invitations. And I have discovered something rather amazing. Let me put it this way. With the Lord's invitations, there are some amazing things to discover. Who he gives them to, for example. The responses he gets. And what happens when the invitation is received and accepted and acted upon, all three of those. Now, all kinds of people get his invitations, and I think you probably know that. And in fact, here are four. I want to put in front of you four who have received God's invitations. One of them was a murderer. I mean, he killed a guy. He just plain out took him out. And then he buried him. There was some sand there, and he just buried him in the sand. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, somebody saw him. And the word was out. He murdered someone. And he had to run. I mean, his life was in danger, and he took off. He took off across the desert. I don't know how long he was on that desert, but he was there a while. He made it across the desert. And when he got across the desert, he ran into a family. Father of the family happened to be a priest. And this priest had some girls, had some daughters. And apparently they looked pretty good to him because he married one of them. And he stayed there for 40 years. He was 40 when he went across the desert, and he stayed there for 40 years. Now, my guess is everybody here knows who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Moses. Yeah. And so he stayed there 40 years. Again, married somebody, had a family, married one of the girls, had a family. And then one day, after the 40 years, one day he was out with the sheep, and he saw this thing. Oh, wow, what a thing. It was a bush. And the bush burned, but it didn't burn. I mean, you know, it burned, but it didn't get consumed. It didn't burn up. So he says to himself, you know, I think I'll just go look at this. And he did. It was way off. And so off he goes, and he sees this bush. And he runs smack dab into God. And he also runs smack dab into one of God's invitations. Because he gets there, and God says, Moses, take the shoes off your feet. You're on hallowed ground. You're on holy ground. And then he says, Moses, you're going back to Egypt, and you're going to take Israel out of Egypt. And Moses says something like this. You talking to me? I mean, you're talking to me? He said, who am I to go save Israel? Yeah. And God says, don't worry about it. I'm going to go with you. I'll be with you all the way. And Moses says, okay, I get over there, and I tell them, you know, I'm here to save you. And they'll say, well, who sent you? I don't even know your name. And God says, Here's my name. I am. That's my name. You tell him. And Moses then says, well, yeah, but I get over there, you know, and I tell I am sent me. And they're not going to believe me. And God says, okay, try this. And try this. And he tried those, and they seemed to work pretty good. And then he says, well, there's still another problem. I don't talk good. I mean, I get over there, and I say these other things, and I do these other things, and what do I say? I've been here 40 years on the desert. I've lost my vocabulary. I don't know what to talk. I don't know how to talk anymore. God says, okay, I'll send Aaron. He'll take care of it. To which Moses replied, I don't want to go. might as well say, I don't, so send some, well, actually what he said was, send someone else. I don't want to go. With all the argument, with all the arguing, with all the things I don't want to do, I don't want to do. He accepts the invitation eventually, and he goes. And look what happened when one man said yes, finally, to God's invitation, and went. I've heard an estimate as high as 6 million left. I've heard an estimate of as high as 2 million left. But there were at least 600,000 men, plus women and children, and those who weren't even Jews who said, hey, this sounds pretty good to me. I'm going too. Look what God did with a man who started out by saying, I can't do this. Send somebody else. I don't want to do this. But he went, and look what God did. Okay. Fast forward several years now to a hole in the ground. Well, there's a guy down there in the hole. And he's absolutely afraid of his shadow. He's down there in the hole to beat out some wheat. And he's afraid of his shadow for good reason, because there are a couple of tribes over in the east called the Amalekites and the Midianites. And then there's a whole bunch of other people over there called the people of the east. And they just come over whenever they want to. There's nobody to stop them. They just come when they want to. And they take whatever they want to. And what they don't take, they tear up if they want to. And there is, again, there is nobody on this earth to stop them when they get there. And so here's Gideon down in this hole, beating out the wheat. It's a wine press, actually. That's what it is. And there's an angel standing up on the edge of this hole in the ground. And I don't know how long he stood there, but he's watching Gideon. And finally he says to Gideon, okay, Gideon, get out of there and go get him. Just get out of there and get him out of here. And Gideon, we now have another guy who says to the angel, I'm the only guy down here. You talking to me? I mean, really, you talking to me? I'm the only guy down here. He says, how can I save Israel? My clan is the least in, this is what Gideon says. My clan is the least in my tribe. His tribe was Manasseh. He said, my clan is the least in my tribe. Besides that, I'm the weakest in my family. It doesn't get any better than that. Now, Judges 6 and 7, that they explain some of the things that went on. But what it gets down to, finally, is Gideon saying to God something like this. Don't get mad. Don't get mad, God. But he said, I'm still not sure about this whole thing. He said, my clan's still the smallest, and I'm still the weakest. I'm just not sure about this. So please, God, don't get mad at me. Please. Let's try the fleece thing. He said, let's do it. So I really want to be sure. He said, so let's try the fleece thing. He said, how about this? Fleece wet, ground dry. Okay. And you know, the fleece dry and the ground wet. He said, don't get mad at me, but let's do it. Let's try it. I want to be sure. Well, God didn't get mad, and God did the fleece thing. And I think probably everybody here knows what happened, because Gideon finally took hold of the invitation. And when one man, after all the argument, took hold of God's invitation, God took 300 men, and in his power, really worked over 100,000 Amalekites and Midianites and the people from the east who were described something like this. Let me get it right here. They came like locusts to cover the ground. And God used 300 men because one man said yes to his invitation. That really is kind of a hallelujah time, isn't it? Yeah, it is. It really is. Okay, now, fast forward again. This time to what many biblical scholars believe was a 14-year-old girl. She's betrothed, but not yet married, probably to a man several years older than she. And then one day, just a day like any other day probably, an angel shows up. And he says something like this, Mary, the Lord is with you. I am Gabriel. And you're going to have God's son. A virgin, 14 years old, unmarried, and God wants you to be the mother of his son. Well, on her part, no argument. Get this, 14-year-old girl. No argument, no real hesitation on her part. In fact, this is what Mary says. I am the servant of the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. A 14-year-old girl who said yes to God's invitation. And everybody here knows what happened after she said yes. Okay, now fast forward one more time. This time, some 2,000 years to Festus, Missouri, where God says to a born-again, believing man, I want you to be a Gideon. Now, I think probably virtually everybody here knows who we Gideons are. We, among other things, we do a variety of things, but among other things, we hand out these New Testaments to anybody and everybody who's going to take one. And we are glad to do that. And we're also those folk who put these $5 Bibles in hotel and motel rooms. I think everybody probably knows that. Well, that God says, I want you to be a Gideon to this born-again believing man. And I don't know how long it took him. I don't know whether he argued. I don't know his name. All I know is that sooner or later, he said yes to God's invitation. And he did what Gideons do. He put a Bible in a motel room in Festus, Missouri. Oh, yes. There was a very real and a very significant result of his saying yes and putting that Bible in that motel room in Festus, Missouri. And here it is. Another man met that Bible. His name is Mike Kersey. Now, he hasn't met that Gideon Bible yet. For now. He just sits on that bed in that motel room. Now, he has something in his hand, but it is not a Bible. It is a loaded 45 automatic, and it is pressed to the side of his head, and his finger is on the trigger, and he is ready to pull that trigger. Mike's journey to that motel room, to that bed, and to that trigger began when he was 16 years old with three big firsts. That year, bought his first motorcycle. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't think there's anything wrong with motorcycles. But that year, he bought his first motorcycle. That year, he joined his first motorcycle gang. That year, he got his first drink of liquor. Year later, 17 years old, he was married. Young woman, 17 years old, married. And, he just shared everything with that young wife of his. Shared his partying. Shared his pot. Shared his meth. Shared his crystal meth, shared his cocaine, and shared his liquor with her. And this style of living didn't take too long till it got him to the place where he just didn't care anymore. He didn't care about his wife, didn't care about himself, didn't care about his family, didn't care about his home, and then he didn't care about being alive. He didn't care about living. And so we find him sitting on that bed in Festus, Missouri. Now, actually, he had gone there to kill another man over a bad drug debt. So, but now, he's not thinking about that guy. He's thinking about himself, thinking about his own life, falling apart, no way out, no answers for his questions, nowhere to turn. So he puts the gun to his head, finger on the trigger, ready to pull the trigger. But there's something else in that room he hadn't counted about. That $5 Bible put there by that Gideon. And Mike Kersey puts that gun down. And he picks up that Bible. And he reads about a man named Jesus. And he gets down on his knees beside that bed and crying like a baby. Those are his words, by the way. Those are his words. And crying like a baby, he opens his heart and invites Jesus to come in. And he receives Christ as his Savior. That's hallelujah. That is hallelujah. Well, but I got to tell you this. While he was gone from, this is not in my notes, but I got to tell you anyway. While he was gone, remember his wife had shared and all this stuff of his. While he is gone from home down there going to kill that guy, a neighbor lady invites his wife to church with her. They never go, but she went. At that church service, she got saved. Whole family gets saved. And he goes home. Yeah. He goes home, finds his family saved. And man alive, what adventure God has for him. He now has a worldwide ministry of ministering to motorcycle guys. One man said yes to God. Put that Bible in that motel room and look what happened to Mike Kersey. One man said yes to God's invitation. Okay. You've heard now about four whom God invited, and then they sooner or later said yes. And you've also seen what God has been able to do with those four who said yes to his invitation. Okay. And now the most logical question anybody's ever going to ask you on the face of this earth. How about you? Amen. How about you? Yes. Might God have an invitation for you? Amen. And the fact is, he does. And I can read it to you. And I'm going to read it to you. It's found over in 2 Corinthians 5. 17 through 21, and I think probably you'll recognize a couple, but I want to emphasize one of them, and here they are. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, and I'm reading from the ESV. Therefore, Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, and here it is, here's an invitation, folks, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Yeah. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and here it is again, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation, the message and the ministry. Therefore, here it comes, we are ambassadors for Christ. And here's the message. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And then the result of the reconciliation. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. There's the invitation. That is the same invitation, by the way, that God gives to every born-again believer on the face of this earth. It is our invitation from God himself. Well, you've seen the four. You've seen what God did through the one who would say yes to him. You've seen the adventure. Oh, I'd like to talk to you about adventures, but I'm not going to do that. You have seen the adventure. You have seen the result. Oh, I remember very well standing in that woman's prison in Bolivia. I'm going to tell you anyway. In Nicaragua, there were 42 women in that room. 40 of them. Accepted Christ as their Savior that day. You talk about an adventure. Oh, my, what an adventure. I remember the schoolhouse Gynetta and I were in. And on that one day, 452 people received Christ in that school, children and administrators. Adventure, 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 folks, if you just say yes to his invitation. Okay, all right, okay. Well, all right, I got to get back to this. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. God has called. God has given the invitation to every single one of us here this morning. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? What will you do? Okay. I'm going to do something dangerous, and I'm going to ask you to do something dangerous. If God is already using you as his ambassador, okay, now listen carefully. Please, listen carefully. If God is already using you as his ambassador, and you know it, and you could say, okay, this is how God is using me as an ambassador. You know that. You have the relationship with the Lord, and he's talked with you, and you've talked with him, and it's clear to you, I am an ambassador for Christ, and I can talk to you about that. Okay. Right here among your friends, people who know you, and people who meet you every Sunday, would you do something for me? You are now an ambassador for Christ. Would you stand? And if you're not able to stand, but it's true for you, would you just raise your hand? Would you do that? Good, good, good. Now, you're going to be honest. Everybody's going to be honest here. If it's not true, don't do it. Okay.
All right.
Good grief. You guys are amazing. I mean that. You're amazing. Okay. Well, almost everybody, but let's say you've heard me, you've listened, and God has spoken to your heart, and you say, I haven't been an ambassador, but I want to be, and I'm willing for him to teach me how, and boy, if you'd, and I'm willing, I want to be, would you now stand? Okay. Or not, if you can, raise your hand. Okay. Okay, you guys are marvelous. Would you be seated, please? Thank you. That was, you guys are marvelous. Turn this town upside down. Why not? I'll tell you what, and I'm not kidding about this. I told you about two of the adventures, but oh my, the adventures that God has for us. Oh, I'd like to. Oh, I'm not going to. Having said all of that, I want to tell you about a very real possible adventure that God may have for you. And the way I'm going to do it is with a personal invitation of my own. And see, I'm here this morning as a Gideon. And I've told you a little bit about that. Now, here it is. Here's my invitation. As a Gideon, I invite you to consider to pray about joining God's Bond County Gideons as we reach out for all the Mike Kerseys in the world. We actively do that. Now, actually, it's not just the Mikes. It's the Mikes and the Marthas and everybody else whose name starts with some letter of the alphabet. It doesn't matter. As long as their name starts with a letter of the alphabet, we want to reach out to them. And you've seen one of the marvelous, marvelous kind of things. Now, my heart's desire is that the Holy Spirit is right now whispering in your ear and speaking to your heart, inviting you to consider at the end of the service talking to me about what it means to be one of his Bond County Gideons. It's not mine, it's not ours, it's his. And we want to reach out. I just say again, we want to reach out for all the Mikes and all the Marthas and all those others here in Bond County and every other place we can go. I got to tell you this. Golden Corral, Springfield, Missouri. Now, I wear cargo pants a lot. I wear cargo pants. I like those because I got those little pockets on the side and I can carry New Testaments in there. And I do that. And we were at Golden Corral in Springfield. And there was a table over with some family and some youngsters. And so I had some. And so I went over to the family and I said to the family, to the adults, would you permit me to give these New Testaments to your youngsters? And they said, oh yeah, sure. And so, but I didn't have enough. So I had to go back out to the car to get some more. And I went out to the car, and I started out the car, and as I went by that counter where they take your money and that sort of thing, I started by there, and I said, I'm going out to the car, and I'll come back. And the young lady who was doing the thing says, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't leave and then come back. And then she smiled, said, okay, I was just kidding. You can go on. So I went on. Now that's important. What she did is important, and you'll see in a minute why it was. And so I went out to the car and I got some New Testaments and I brought an extra one back. Now get this. Let's show how the adventure and how God operates. When I came back, she was there by herself. There was nobody else around. Nobody. Nobody coming in. Nobody going out. And nobody else there helping behind that counter. And so I pulled that New Testament out of my pocket and I said, would you permit me to give you a Gideon New Testament? And she said, well, yes, I would, sure. So, and I opened it up. Now, in the Gideon New Testament, on these back two pages, is what I call a roadmap to heaven. Tells you how to get there. That's what I said to her, this. And then, the moment was there. It was unmistakable. Again, nobody coming, nobody going, nobody else around. The moment was there. So I said to her, would you permit me to ask you the most important question anybody's ever going to ask you on the face of this earth? And she said, well, sure. I said, you want to go to heaven when you die? And she said, yes, I do. And so I said, well, on a percentage of 0 to 100, what percent would you say that if you die today, you'd go? She said, oh, about 80%. And I said, how would you like to be 100%? And she said, yes, I would. And the upshot was, we got to pray together. The adventure that God has for us. What an adventure God has for us if we'll just say yes to his invitation. Now, maybe God's not leading you to even talk to me about being a Gideon. Okay. But how about this? There is a kind of a new thing with Gideons. It's called Friends of Gideons. And doesn't cost anything to join. But it does make available to you these New Testaments, and some other things as well. In fact, I have a brochure. Now, I'm getting a little older, and I intended to bring about 20 of these with me. They're safely at home in a drawer. But let me read to you from the brochure about Friends of Gideons. Friends of Gideons is a group of individuals who have a heart for seeing people come to Christ and are committed to seeing the work of the Gideons International grow. Friends pray for certain needs of the association and give as God leads to support the ministry of the Gideons. Additionally, friends have access to pocket-sized scriptures that include the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs, plus other resources to strengthen their witnessing skills and maximize the opportunities God gives them to share their faith. Your desire to see people come to Christ becomes a reality when you purchase pocket-sized scriptures and resources that strengthen your personal witnessing skills and confidence to share your faith. I trust God has been whispering in your ear and speaking to your heart about the adventures he has for you and the invitation to those adventures. And again, I add my personal invitation. If you talk to me about what it means to be a Gideon, what it means to be a friend of the Gideons. You guys have been so great. It has been a marvelous experience for me to be here for two reasons. I had great trepidation about coming and just speaking, for one thing. And look what the God has done for. I don't know what God has done for you, but I know what he's done for me. Okay? And you guys have been so warm and accepting and wonderful. It has just been marvelous. Let me pray for us, okay? And then we'll see. Father, how much I thank you that you brought me here. How much I thank you for your people, for my brothers and sisters in Christ in this place. And I pray your richest blessings upon every heart here today, Father, that each heart would be filled with your love, with your majesty, with your greatness, with your power, and that each brain would be able to use all that you say to them this day, hearts and brains together, Father, bringing glory to your name as each one functions in the adventures that you have for each of us. Thank you again, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.